Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. Today's teaching on how to magnify the cross, not your laws, is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Bad things happen to good people, but I'm guaranteeing you that God's compensation, what God has done for you, is so infinitely greater. We had a woman at one of my meetings, I think this was in Chicago also, and this has been 20-something, 30 years ago, and this woman came, and her and her husband were walking through Central Park in New York, and somebody shot him and killed him as they were walking through Central Park holding hands. And to make it even worse, they blamed her and said she's the one that killed him. And she had spent 8 years in prison for killing her husband. She not only had to do with the loss of her husband, but she got put in prison and punished for killing her husband when she wasn't guilty of it. And she had just had it proven that she wasn't the one that had done it, and she was released, and she came to my meeting. And I talked to her and she told me the story, and I had her get up and give a testimony. And she was just praising God about His goodness and faithfulness and how He took care of her. And you know what? That's a bad situation. That's a terrible thing. Most people would say she would be justified to be bitter, but this woman was just glorifying God because she saw the good in it instead of the bad. I'm telling you, we magnify the wrong things. Man, there's something that you can always praise God about. Amen? You can always find something to praise God for. There is always a positive side, but we just glorify, we magnify the negative. And I'm telling you, like Romans 1:21 says, these are progressive steps that cause the glory, the value, the magnification that you've put up on God to start coming down. When you start looking at the pain and look at what this person said to me, and you get to feeling you're hurt and magnifying these things, man, you got to look beyond that. Jesus looked beyond the shame. He despised the shame. He put down, He shrunk the shame, and He magnified what was going to come out of it. He saw you and me, the millions of people that would be born again and that would live forever in heaven with Him, and He thought it was well worth it. You know, when we were singing Majesty tonight, part of that song is glorify, magnify. It used those words interchangeably because it's the exact same thing. To glorify God means you got to magnify Him. You got to make Him bigger. Man, you got to rehearse your victories. This is the reason that the Lord gave commands about don't tear down your neighbor's landmark. Make monuments. Samuel raised a stone he called Ebenezer. And he raised that. It was a monument of their victory and stuff like this. You should have monuments. It was commanded. That's the reason for the feast days, to remember when they came out of Egypt on the Passover, to remember all of these things. You know, I got a rock on my property that was, I don't know, is that tall? It's a huge rock, and it's about like that. And that thing rolled over my head. Should have killed me. And I got a monument right there. August the 29th, 1999, Jesus saved my life when this rock rolled over my hand, arm, and head. And then I've got down Psalms 116, I think it's verse 6, where it says, "The Lord preserves the simple." Because it was my own stupidity that caused that rock to roll over my head. But I've got a monument right there. And every time I walk by that rock, I remember, God, You saved my life. You've got a purpose for me. You know, there are dozens of times that I should have been dead. I was just talking the other day about one time I had to fly a plane because the pilot... It's just a two-seater plane, and our shoulders were touching each other and touching the windows, and we got into some rough weather, and it was the first time he had ever flown, and the pilot got scared, and the pilot curled up in a fetal position and covered his eyes, and he says, "My God, we're going to die. We're going to die." You just don't know what it's like to be flying when the pilot says, "We're going to die." And so I was flying that plane with one hand and shaking him with the other hand. And we flew over Alamogordo Rifle Range. And they came on and they said, plane, whatever. They gave the call letters. They said, you're in restricted airspace. Get out immediately or we'll shoot you down. And I got on there and I said, look, the pilot's in a fetal position. Don't shoot me down. I'm not flown a plane. They never did respond. I think they must have been laughing so hard that they just figured this kid's going to kill himself. He doesn't have to be shot down. I don't know. But you know what? I flew that plane for over an hour and we'd drop 1,000 feet at a time. And I said, look, God didn't let me live through Vietnam to die in your plane. And finally, we buzzed the field and got the cows out of the way and landed in a pasture, and I survived. But you know what? God, I could either look at that and think, oh, how terrible that was, or I could look at it and say, man, Jesus, this is awesome. You saved my life. You know, I was in Vietnam. I was a chaplain's assistant. He wanted to go out and visit a Vietnamese pastor, and so I had to go get a vehicle out of the motor pool and I drove him out there. You were supposed to go in convoy, but they'd let a chaplain do whatever he wanted to. But technically you had to have an armed personnel carrier in front and behind to leave the compound and get out on the roads. But we went out to visit this Vietnamese pastor and we had lunch with him and we were sitting there and here's the U.S. Jeep parked in front of this guy's church. And the chaplain asked this guy, he says, is there any Viet Cong activity in this area? And he said, oh, there's lots of it. And he said, really? He says, right here. And he said, yeah. And he looked out the window and right across the street was an NVA headquarters. And there was dozens of NVA soldiers walking around with AK-47s, dozens of them. And there was the chaplain and me, and I had one little M16. And that chaplain, he got so scared, he nearly wet his pants. And he says, we're getting in the Jeep and we're going to leave. And we got in that Jeep and I backed it out and drove. And these NVA soldiers were standing there with their AK-47s and they had to have seen us. Because when they saw us coming, they just moved and got out of the way and let us pass through. And we drove through a dozen NVA soldiers with guns in their hands. And we just drove right through the midst of them. Now, I could either magnify the loss and talk about, man, that was so scary and think about that, or I can magnify, man, God, it's awesome how you protected my life. And I just choose to think on the good. I guess everybody that's here tonight is still breathing. So regardless of what's happened to you, you've survived. You're still breathing. If you have breath, you're supposed to be praising the Lord. And you magnify God with thanksgiving. You should be magnifying the Lord and saying, I don't care what the devil does. I'm still breathing. I'm going to magnify the Lord. And if you start remembering and recounting all of your blessings, it causes God to get bigger. You know, the man who was my mentor, there were some things that happened, and because of it, we fell out of fellowship with each other, and for 12 years he wouldn't talk to me. But anyway, the Lord used me to get him back into the ministry, and it was really a neat testimony. I hadn't got time to give that. But after he got back into the ministry, he's 20 years older than me, I invited him to go to Phoenix with me and hold a meeting. Charlie was there. Charlie saw this, and it was so neat to have Joel there ministering with me, and I was just so thrilled that this guy who God used so miraculously in my life back in 1968 was now back in fellowship and ministering, and it was great. And so we would drive around during the day. We would spend all day together. And after 2 days of that, I was just recounting, Joe, do you remember when the Holy Spirit came into your house and the curtains were blowing out like this? Totally. I mean, there was a rushing mighty wind, and yet there was a candle on the table and the light never flickered. I said, do you remember that? And then I was talking about when he was caught up into the third heaven. And he had never read the Bible. He was a pagan before he got born again. And he was telling me about being caught up into heaven. And he says, I saw these beasts. One had a face like an eagle. Another one looked like a calf. And I turned over to the book of Revelation and showed him. I said, this is in the Bible. You saw those four living creatures. And he had never heard it. He had never read it. He was caught up into heaven. And I was reminding him. And did you know, after 2 days, he just yelled at me and said, stop. He says, I don't want to hear any more about this. I said, what's wrong? And he says, I don't even remember this. He didn't remember getting caught up into heaven. I remembered. He didn't remember. He didn't remember the wind blowing through, but the candle bent. He didn't remember seeing people healed and stuff, but I did. And this is one of the reasons. Some of you are going to disagree with this and think I'm lying, but this is my testimony and I'm sticking with it. And since 1968, I haven't been depressed and I hadn't been discouraged and I hadn't wanted to quit. Now, I've been tempted and I've had a lot of things come against me, but I haven't been down. I had somebody here came up tonight and showed me from Van Gale's church back 30 years ago in Chicago. I ministered and he showed me the notes that he took from that service. And you know what? I'm still as excited about the Lord as I've ever been. And one of the reasons is because I've never quit magnifying God, and I am thankful. I constantly go back and remember what Jesus has done for me. And because of it, it magnifies God and it keeps God bigger than all of this other stuff. And this is what the Apostle Paul was talking about in the book of Philippians. He counted, he disesteemed, he devalued everything in his life except God and his relationship with God. One thing, this one thing I do, seeking after those things. God was his total focus, and because of that, he could be put in prison. He could be beaten, his feet and hands in the stocks, and at midnight, he'd sing praises. He was just rejoicing because you know what? If your joy is all in God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your life's not always going to be good. There's going to be bad times. There's going to be things that happen. You will lose people. You know, I was looking at something on our Gospel Truth TV network today, and it showed people in the crowd. They were doing a commercial for Charis Bible College, and two of the people that were in that commercial are dead now. And you know what? I was looking at that and thinking, things change. We live in a fallen world. Bad things are going to happen, but Jesus is always the same.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to magnify the cross, not your loss. This 5-part series was recorded at the 2017 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM294 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to check out our Charis Bible College. You know, this is just a powerful ministry. We're seeing people's lives changed. It's awesome. And we would love for you to be a part of it. And we've got a brand new, what we call a hybrid program, where if you can't come to one of our 75 locations, or if you don't want to take it online, or if you don't want to do it by correspondence, we actually have it so that you can come two Saturdays out of a month and then supplement it with CDs, or you could come two nights to one of the campuses and then supplement it. There's just a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, so check it out at charisbiblecollege.org.